It's a Tuesday edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. Welcome and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Taylor Charleston will be in with a feature report, and I'll have a look at regional and national agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news, right after this word from our sponsor.
This segment was sponsored by Polymer Ag, makers of Anti-Stress 550, the climate stress solution. Find out more at polymerag.com.
It's been a challenging citrus season in California. The wet winter has had an impact, but inflation is the biggest issue, depending on a variety, according to Alan Dodge with Pro Citrus Network. Lemons have been affected the most. Lemons are a staple item that people can do without, he said. While demand for oranges hasn't been impacted as much as lemons, they are also seeing a difficult market due to their smaller size structure this season. Because of their smaller size, more pieces go into the bags. Inflation has resulted in a supply exceeds demand situation. The average price for growers is below last year's average, while costs have gone up. At the same time, consumers are more price conscious and have become more selective about the items they put in their basket. The wet weather also had an impact on his season, as it has interrupted harvest time. He says they've been praying for rain for years and they got it. As a result of the weather pattern this winter, there was quite a difference in daytime and nighttime temperatures. Cold nights and warm days have had a positive impact on the quality of the fruit. However, due to the rain and cold weather, the new crop is 2 to 3 weeks late from blooming. That really is the bigger problem, he said. As a result, the domestic season will have a later start this fall. On a positive note, he heard that bloom will be more compact and consistent. If true, it should have a positive effect on the new crop. Due to slower demand, domestic supplies will be available longer than usual, while the import season will start late May. PCN imports citrus from Chile, Peru, Uruguay, Argentina, and South Africa. The internet is critical to everyday life, yet 1 out of 5 Californians lack access to affordable, reliable broadband service, devices, and skills to use them. As a result, millions in the state are unable to access essential government services and realize other social and economic benefits. This gap is referred to as the digital divide, which impacts most rural residents, low-income households, seniors, the disabled, veterans, those with low levels of literacy and language barriers, and tribal communities, among other groups. Broadband for All is the state's overreaching program to close the digital divide and foster digital equity in the communities. The state has invested billions of dollars to achieve Broadband for All and ensure that every resident has access to economical and dependable internet, devices, and skills training. But more needs to be done. The California Department of Food and Agriculture is part of the state digital equity team led by the Department of Technology and the California Public Utilities Commission. The agencies are working together to offer a series of planning workshops. There will be a total of 20 workshops. The first have already started. Local organizations and community members are urged to attend and encouraged to make their voices heard in the development of a 5-year action plan to determine how future federal dollars are allocated to address digital inequities. Upcoming workshops will take place on April 21st in San Diego at the Central Library, on April 27th in Chico at the Chico Masonic Family Center, and on April 28th at Santa Rosa's Veterans Memorial Building in Santa Rosa. For information and registration, log on to the California Department of Food and Agriculture website. The California Avocado Commission announces a kickoff to the 2023 season with fresh, delicious fruit available now through summer. From smoothies and salads to dips and desserts, everyone's favorite California avocados are packed with flavor and nutrients and are a versatile staple in any diet. Although you may see avocados in stores all year round, it's important to know that California avocados are only available from spring through summer, according to the commission. Look for California on the label to ensure you're enjoying locally grown California avocados. And if you can't find conventionally grown California avocados, don't forget to check the organic aisle. Locally grown California avocados are meticulously cared for by about 3,000 growers and picked at their peak, resulting in fruit that is consistent in taste and texture. California avocados are a sodium and cholesterol-free, heart-healthy superfood. The greatest concentration of beneficial carotenoids is in the dark green fruit of the avocado closest to the peel. To get to the heart-healthy, nutrient-dense fruit directly under the peel, peel the skin from the avocado instead of scooping. For additional tips and tricks, delicious seasonal recipes, avocado nutrition, and more, log on to californiaavocado.com. Energy storage systems manufacturer ESS Tech Incorporated will deliver three energy warehouse systems to Coldwell Solar. The systems will be installed in a solar plus storage microgrid at Roeder Estate, Scharfenberger Cellars, and Domaine Anderson, all California wineries in Mendocino County known for their sparkling and still wines. Coldwell Solar is a major developer and builder of renewable energy projects for California's commercial, agricultural, and utility sectors. The company worked with the wineries to design a system that met their needs, and the microgrid is expected to be operational in late 2023. The wineries needed an energy storage solution that could withstand the elements and operate safely in a wildfire-prone region, according to Sean Hood, COO of Coldwell Solar. With its inherent safety and low carbon footprint, the ESS technology will safeguard the wineries from the impacts of public safety power shutoff events and other grid interruptions to ensure resilient winery operations 24/7, demonstrating a key role that energy storage can play in rural agricultural applications and supporting operations of a major employer in the region. In addition, a winery will avoid significant demand charges and realize energy savings by utilizing ESS technology to reduce grid electricity use during peak periods. The ability to reduce grid demand during late afternoon and evening periods will also support the stability of the local grid.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
California red scale control in citrus is going to look a bit different this year. Cooler than average temperatures have delayed biofix of red scale in 2023 compared to previous years, indicating a later crawler emergence for the first generation of insects and potentially the second and third generations if summer temperatures also trend low, according to UCCE Citrus IPM advisor Sandeepa Gautam. The effect of low temperature delaying insect development, thereby affecting emergence and flights, will likely affect spray timing for red scale control in the 2023 season.
Biofix for red, California red scale has been declared for April 11 in all four counties, Kern County, Tulare, Fresno, and Madera counties. Now, this is interesting because it came 5 weeks later this year in Kern County and about 3 to 4 weeks later in other counties. And that's probably because we have had such a cool winter and cooler spring compared to previous season. What that means for red scale seasonal phenology is we can expect to have a synchronized population, and we can expect to have at least for the first generation 2 to 3 weeks delay in crawler emergence, because we are slowly starting to accumulate degree days now. And it's, you know, for the next 2 weeks, the temperature doesn't look crazy either. So we can expect delay in terms of seasonal phenology and delayed start. And it depends on how the summer temperatures is going to look like, but looks like this will be a pretty normal year. In a sense, normal, like a decade ago, where we had four generations of red scale in 1 year.
Control of red scale starts with monitoring, and Gautam said monitoring male flights using pheromone trap cards and degree days is the most used method.
Our growers and pest control advisors have long relied on using pheromone cards to monitor for males and call up biofix when we start that first generation male start coming out, and then based on that day, call that a biofix and degree day accumulations above the low developmental threshold of red scale, which is 53 degree Fahrenheit, and heat units accumulated above that low developmental threshold. When it accumulates to have 550 degree days, then something important happens. Like all other insects, red scale also develops on based on temperature, and you know it matters a lot what's happening with the weather, in terms of what's happening with the population in your groves. So monitoring is a big part. Monitoring male flights using pheromone cards is the beginning, and then following up on what's happening with the you know degree-day accumulations is to sort of predict what's when, not so much as what, but when things are going to happen. Say we have male flight, then the next event in Rediscal life cycle is the crowler emergence, which is fairly important phenomena because most of the insecticide sprays want to target. We want to target that young population because young in the first instars and second instars are easier to kill compared to the scale that has fairly tough waxy layer protecting its body. So monitoring population using degree days to predict what happens with the population and then making your spray decision based on that is a part of the Rediscal Integrated Management Program. Then we also have Aphidius millennialis, which is a parasitoid. It's active in the valley. Some of the growers release Aphidius as a part of the Rediscal Management Program, which usually happens during the summer season once that second generation starts coming, because it works better. You know, parasitoids work better when they can easily find the prey.
Following monitoring comes the insecticide application as part of an integrated management program for Red Scale. Gautam noted that while there are viable insecticide options for the pest, the options aren't plentiful, and ongoing insecticide trials and research are revealing what still works and what doesn't.
Last year, we tested two different insect growth regulators, STIM, which is a juvenile hormone mimic, and Centaur, which is a chitin inhibitor. And when we did all the counting and everything, STIM didn't do as well as expected. And part of that reason could be that for the last, STIM has been used for more than 2 decades now, and it's likely that the populations have started developing resistance. And that's why we're not seeing good control with STIM. But other products, Centaur, we also tested this new product, Senstar, which is a combination of STIM, pyroxyphen, and Movento, which is a spirotetramer. And that performed better than STIM alone, but not as good as Movento alone. The best product in our trial was still Movento. Sevanto also helped reduce the Rediscal population. So if timed right, the insecticides product worked, but it looks like we have some issues with STIM. It could be a coverage issue because most of the Rediscal population, especially if we have a high population pressure and there are scales on wood and inner branches, getting coverage becomes very important.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
Retail dietitians say produce prescription pilot programs at their stores show some promise and much potential. At the Produce for Better Health Foundation's annual Consumer Connection Conference held recently, three retail dietitians said grocery stores are showing their value to consumer health, and one way has been produce prescriptions. They have had a huge opportunity to impact behavior change in produce prescription plans because customers are in their stores two, three, four times a week, according to Stacey Bates, Director of Nutrition Strategy for HEB. compared to only a few visits to the doctor a year. They're being resourced now like never before, and that's where food as medicine can take off, she said. Grocery stores are part of healthcare ecosystems, according to Lisa Coleman, director of Healthy Living for Giant Food. Annette Maggie, PBH retail specialist, said many retailers are doing produce prescription pilot programs, so she expects to see results of many of them this year. However, she said many retailers see them underperforming due to various barriers. Allison Primo, health and wellness manager for Schnuck Markets, said overall health and wellness programs are showing they can provide return on investments and bring better health to their customers, and retail leaders are embracing them. As to the barriers, all three dietitians said technology is a major factor. Bates said retailers have to upgrade their technology so they can accept the various cards of insurance providers. Coleman agreed, saying her own mother uses Medicare Advantage Produce Benefits Program, and Giant stores are not set up to accept it yet. Primo said that since meal plans include fresh produce, it's imperative that retailers allow all cards to be used. Another barrier to medically tailored meals, Bates says, is that they have to be designed to taste better, not just be healthy, and they need to be introduced incrementally. Last year, the International Fresh Produce Association named food as medicine and produce prescriptions among its priorities. It was released as a strategy at the White House Conference on Nutrition, Hunger, and Health in September. A North Dakota federal district court has ruled against the New Waters of the U.S. rule. Farm News reporter Michael Clements shares more on the decision, which impacts 24 states and does not include California.
The North Dakota federal district court ruling against the New Waters of the U.S. rule is a second of its kind and a win for farmers and ranchers. American Farm Bureau Federation Deputy General Counsel Travis Cushman says the ruling blocks WOTUS in more than half of the country.
So the North Dakota court stopped the rule from being in effect in 24 states. AFBF and another group of industry folks, we've challenged the rule in both Texas and in North Dakota. So with this decision, because we also got the rule stopped in two states in the Texas case, that means the rule is now stopped in over half the country, 26 states.
Cushman says the court ruling aligns with the arguments made by Farm Bureau.
What's really significant here is that the courts are saying this new rule should not have gone into effect. It's not a good rule. This new rule requires states, landowners, and countless other affected parties to undertake expensive compliance efforts. It's neither understandable nor intelligible, and its boundaries are unlimited. The EPA's interpretation of the 2023 rule does not provide any clarity which the states can easily conform. It's an absolute smackdown on this new rule, and we completely agree with the court's analysis on that.
The Supreme Court could issue its ruling in the Sackett versus Environmental Protection Agency case any day, and Cushman says the agency should have waited before issuing the new rule.
Hopefully Sackett will more clearly delineate what the limits or WOTUS are, so we'll have to continue going back and forth on this issue. But it's clear from these two rulings from Texas and North Dakota that EPA has continued to fail to appropriately write WOTUS within the terms of the Clean Water Act in a reasonable and a knowable way.
Learn more at fb.org/WOTUS. Michael Clements, Washington.
What are some of the adjustments made by USDA in its April global and domestic rice supply and demand estimates? USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Forecasts and adjustments in world rice production in April.
Small reduction in production, down 400,000 tons this month at 509 million tons in total.
With World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski noting a reduction in Indonesian rice production forecast, offsetting expected increases from the crop in Bangladesh. The bottom line for the global rice balance sheet.
Global rice ending stocks this month were reduced by 2 million tons, down to 171.4 million tons, and that would be down about 10.6 million tons year over year.
Several month-over-month adjustments were made in the domestic rice supply and demand estimate, including U.S. rice ending stocks, lowered 8 million hundredweight in the latest forecast. The season-ending average price remains the same as last month, $19.40 per hundredweight. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The annual greenhouse gas emission report by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is out, and it showed the top three greenhouse gases continue to reach what are termed uncharted levels in 2022. Those gases are carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide. These three gases are the gases emitted by human activity that are the largest contributors to climate change, according to NOAA scientists. The report noted that carbon dioxide atmospheric content rose by 2.13 parts per million to 417.0 0.06 parts per million, about the same rate observed during the last decade. Atmospheric carbon dioxide content is now 50% higher than pre-industrial levels. 2022 was the 11th consecutive year when carbon dioxide increased by more than 2 parts per million, the highest sustained rate of carbon dioxide increases in the 65 years since monitoring began. Atmospheric methane content is now more than 2.5 times as much as it was pre-industrial times. Methane is much less abundant than carbon dioxide. However, it is much more potent than carbon dioxide at trapping heat in the atmosphere. And as for nitrous oxide, it is a direct tie-in to agriculture. Nitrous oxide is identified as the third most significant greenhouse gas. Last year, nitrous oxide levels rose by 1.24 parts per billion to 335.7. That level ties with 2014 as the third largest jump since the year 2000 and a 24% increase over the nitrous oxide pre-industrial level of 270 parts per billion. The top 2 years in nitrous oxide content growth occurred in 2020 and 2021. The NOAA report stated increases in atmospheric nitrous oxide during recent decades are mainly due from use of nitrogen fertilizer and manure from the expansion and intensification of agriculture. The report pointed out that carbon dioxide is the star of the show when it comes to greenhouse gas content. The main driver of increasing atmospheric CO2 is the burning of fossil fuels, with emissions increasing from 10.9 billion tons per year in the 1960s, which is when measurements in Hawaii began, to about 36.6 billion tons per year in 2022, according to the Global Carbon Project, which uses NOAA's greenhouse gas measurements in its estimates.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.